and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey, and with me is a very special guest, new GSMC Podcast host, Heidi.
Hello.
Heidi will be joining us from now on, and we're very excited to have her. However, we will not be doing what the mother in our first story did, which is smashing iPads in front of her because we don't want to scare her away. We like her and we want to keep her.
Good. I brought five.
Oh, okay. Good. So we're all covered. So this actually happened in Britain. This is British TV presenter Kirsty Alsop, and she smashed her kids' iPads in front of them because they were playing too much Fortnite. Heidi, do you play video games?
I don't play them that consistently, no. I'm aware of the phenomenon that is Fortnite, but I have not actually played it.
I haven't played it either, and I'm only aware that it is a phenomenon. I don't even know what's happening in the phenomenon, so I'm not even sure what type of game Fortnite is. Like, it kind of looks like a journey around adventure, fight and or kill people.
Yeah, it's like a fighting but building game. So you could be like trying to get away from someone and suddenly you're like building a wall or you're building a house around you. It's alternative.
Right. I was like, that, to say the least. That's so reality is let me quickly build up this house so they can't get to me.
Yeah, I wish I could do that.
But yeah, no, I know Fortnite mostly because I remember seeing a thing where they were using the Fortnite dances as a PE class for kids. Which I'm like, okay, fine, if they're into that, that's a way to get them interested, but is that the world we've come to of like video game based dances for physical education?
Yeah, you have to replicate like not real life to live life.
Right. Yeah. My physical education was not that interesting at all.
No.
But so anyways, she had, you know, told them they weren't allowed to play so much. And she says she doesn't like them playing Fortnite because it's violent and addictive. Mm. But she keeps people had a strong reaction to this. Because some people are like, yes, great parenting. And others are like, yeah, but those are iPads you smashed.
Right.
It's not like you just took the controllers out of their hand from like an old video game and then, you know, put that in a box somewhere so they couldn't play it. You smashed an iPad.
Right. So like the game is violent and then she violently got rid of their iPads.
Also that too. Like people talked about, you know, I don't think my mother ever smashed anything in front of me. I do remember I did actually have a Game Boy something because I don't play video games. So I don't even remember which model it was. And she took it away as a punishment for me because I was doing something and I totally didn't even think about it. So she had it for like a year because I completely forgot I had it. And
wow.
Then she discovered it while cleaning and it's like, oh yeah, that. So I guess that punishment didn't work too well.
Or it could have been very successful punishment because you didn't use it again.
Right, exactly. But yeah, she never was like, I'm going to break the thing I don't want you to use. And especially if it's, you know, something rather expensive. iPads aren't cheap.
Right, or something that she bought.
Right, exactly. So people were commenting about how, you know, there are people who would just love to have an iPad, who can't afford to buy even one iPad for their family, and it seems Kirsty Alsop has two sons and both have their own iPads, so it's just like, you smashed multiple iPads, and like, other people can't even afford one. But then she also had to make the argument about how it's not about screen time. It's specifically about the violentness. Because she says that she lets her sons watch lots of movies and TV. And she has no problem with that. But she does have a problem with violent, addictive games.
So does she, like, curate what they watch, like, to avoid violence, I'm assuming?
I mean, yeah, I assume they can't watch, like, really horrible, violent movies. Like, they're probably not watching The Purge or something.
Right, or like a war film or something.
But that she also doesn't like them because they're addictive.
Oh, okay.
So it's also about screen time, but not screen time. Screen time in the, like, the personal device's screen time, and not screen time like the boob tube.
That feels like a personal vendetta against gaming systems.
Well, and also it's just like, I'm the mom and I said so.
Yeah, yeah.
But that she wants her sons to, you know, not be addicted to these screens in their hands, which I think has been a lot of parents' sort of worries now that you get smartphones and computers and everything that can fit in the palm of your hand. And it's just like, kids don't look up from that. What do?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. How old were you when you had your first cell phone?
Oh my gosh, I was not even into like middle school. I was maybe 14?
14.
I think.
Can't remember when I got mine. I think it was like in sixth grade or something. Uh-huh. But then I remember I stole, like, it got lost on the bus.
Aww.
And some guy stole it and everything. And that was horrible. It was like my most expensive thing I owned, like stolen within like 2 weeks of having it.
See, and when I first got a cell phone, I didn't understand the whole like, oh, my cell phone is my life thing, because it didn't actually work most of the time.
What?
Like the carrier that we got was not great. And so it didn't work in a lot of places. And so most of the time it was just like this plastic little thing in my pocket that I couldn't actually use to call or text or anything. So it's just like, great. Awesome. Whatever. What's the point of this?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure in middle school we just used it to like show off that you had a cell phone.
Yeah,
and get like the longest cell phone charm that you could find.
Oh, I remember those. Like I'm of, and this is probably dating me a little, I'm of the age that I remember when I was in elementary school, there was one girl who was like all the talk after Christmas because she got a beeper.
Oh.
And it's just like, but we're in elementary school. Like, who's going to be paging you that you need to call back in elementary
But nowadays,
school?
If you're like five, you have a cell phone, you know?
Yeah, no, and I used to see this all the time when I worked at a restaurant, is you'd see parents would give the kids like an iPad to keep them occupied while they're out eating. And there was like this two-year-old that was like messing with it and knew how to select different things and turn up the volume. And I'm like, my mother can't even quite necessarily understand how to text me properly.
Right, exactly.
Two-year-old is messing with an iPad? Like, wow. I mean, when you grow up with it, it's normal, but yeah, it's hard to think of. But you know, back to Kirstie Alsop, I do see why people would be upset, both for the you couldn't have just taken this away from them sort of mindset, like again with me. And I mean, she took it away from for a year, but I didn't care. But you could have, isn't that what most parents do? If you're grounded, you're not allowed to have this thing, doesn't mean I'm going to break this thing and no one can ever have it.
Yeah. This reminds me of, I saw a YouTube video. I don't know if you've seen this, but there's a dad who takes his son's video games and then runs them over with a lawnmower. It's like a lawnmower you can ride. And it's just sad on so many levels.
Yeah.
Because the kid is heartbroken, but I'm like, the dad went to such extremes to like do it in front of his son.
Yeah.
Like so violently.
Like, I remember my mother told me a story as the sort of, if you're bad enough, this will happen to you thing. Of her friend who was fed up with her two teenage sons and them not, you know, following her rules or whatever. So they went to school one day and she stayed home and hired two movers to come and moved out all their stuff into a storage unit.
What?
So she left them, like, I think they had a sleeping bag or maybe she just put the mattresses on the ground. They like had something to sleep on and clothes and that was it. So they didn't have their video game. They didn't have their music player. They didn't have anything that would have like entertain them. I think she actually took like the TVs out of the house, period.
Oh wow.
And they did that for like a month or something and they weren't allowed to have it back. And I'm like, there. It's probably not feasible for everyone to be like, I'm gonna go rent a storage unit for a while, but you couldn't have done that of just like take it away for a while and then give it back because, you know, like I get the lesson of, you know, we're supposed to teach, oh, you have consequences, and she didn't want it to be like, oh, you can just break the rules, whatever. And that definitely sends a strong message to smash them.
Yeah.
But shouldn't there also be, okay, then you follow my rules and you do get a positive? Or I did see someone wrote on Twitter that they suggested instead she should have made the boys themselves give the iPads to like a charity.
Oh, yeah, that makes more sense.
Someone else can have it. But then also because the argument was she wanted to make that strong impact and just taking them away and not giving them back wouldn't have done that. To make the boys do it would definitely send an impact of like, oh yeah, I really messed up. So mom's making me do it. This is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to the level of violence that we might be like, that might leave a stronger impact than you want.
She's a TV presenter. Did she do it on TV or
she
just like at her home?
No, she just talked about it on TV. But I think she says she smashed it against the coffee table.
Oh my God.
Or something. And I'm just like, A, what type of coffee table do you have? And B, how strong, like, how much force did you need to smash an iPad? When you say smash, like, break in half? Because that's my first thought, but I think that would require a lot of force. So do you mean, like, you just completely broke the screen, or how does that work?
Wow.
What's the definition of smash here? So
that would be horrifying to see my mother do that.
I'd be like, Mom's lost it, and I need to get out of this house immediately.
Yeah.
Yes. So definitely an interesting parenting style. We'll say that. So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Welcome back to the GSMC's Social Media News Podcast. Our second story today, hopefully not as violent, although the purpose of it might be to inform you about violence, is that FEMA has announced that they will test a new system which allows the president to send messages to citizens' cell phones. So this is a part of the wireless emergency alerts, or the emergency alert system. Wireless emergency alerts was a thing that was passed by Congress, but this itself will be part of the emergency alert system, which also has the traditional ones that you see like on TV or on the radio. I don't know if you do this, Heidi, but our cable thing will every now and again, I think it's some Wednesday of the month, no matter what you're watching, you'll hear like this loud beep and this thing will come on and it'll say, this is a test of the emergency.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I hate that. Like, I get it, but...
As a child, it scared me. I thought it was, like, aliens taking over our technology. It was horrifying.
Well, yeah, the first couple of times when it happened, before we got to the actual message of it, I was like, something went wrong. Something went wrong. Something broke.
I've broken something.
Because that's, like, the sound you hear when you get, like, the blue screen of death on a computer.
Yes.
Just, like, something went wrong and my technology's going to die. What do I do? But then it, you know, goes through the, this is a test. This is just a test. And I'm like... Do you have to have that really high-pitched alarm when you do this?
It's such
test?
A violent test.
I get, okay, fine, we want to alert people, but you interrupted their TV. Like, I think they noticed that. Is that what the radio one also sounds like, and you just use the same audio? Because I've strangely never actually heard it on the radio.
I feel like I have heard it before. And it always feels longer than it should be.
Yeah.
You know, like right when I think it's going to end, it just keeps going. So it just becomes like a really long bathroom break in the middle of your TV station show.
Or I've sometimes had it during the winter for like storm warnings.
Oh, yes.
A severe weather warning. And it's like a severe weather warning is in effect for these counties in California. And I'm usually annoyed because it's like, okay, I'm only in one of those counties, and you seem to be listing, like, all the counties in California, so that doesn't affect me to be, like, you know, San Diego County when I'm in Northern California. I'm like, okay. But then at the same time, they then, you know, go on and say it also, I think, in Spanish.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I get it, but is there a way of, like, once I know it, I can...
Like, press 2 for Spanish.
Right? I have to, like, listen to you say this twice in each language or whatever. It's like... Get on with it. Although I do really like the fact that they have that for Amber Alerts.
Yeah.
Because they do also have that. And I'm like, that especially, I think I was a child when Amber Alerts became a thing. And it's very hard to imagine not having that. Even though, again, that's one of those things where it's like, you know, it's an Amber Alert for somewhere in California that happens to be 2 hours drive away from me. I'm like, on the one hand, doesn't affect me, but on the other hand, I love that you put that alert out.
Yes.
For such a situation.
Yeah, I definitely think the Amber Alerts are important. I get those via text, and then all of the highway signs will always change to it if they're electronic.
Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was in college, my college offered a system like this too, of if there was any sort of like, you know, active shooter on campus or any sort of situation, to have text messages, because they blared it out through the loudspeakers from the clock tower, but that only reaches so far, you know?
Yeah, my college did that too.
Especially if you're traveling to the college and you don't know this is going on, and then you would like possibly arrive in the middle of a dangerous situation. So I was like, oh, yes, please send me that. But I think I must have done it wrong or something, because I never even got like a text. Test message.
Oh, I would get them all the time.
Oh, wow, really?
We would get if someone's house was broken into, even in the town, or like broken into, or if there was like a suspicious person. Uh-huh. So it didn't have to be a shooter, just a suspicious person was around. We got a lot of them all the time.
See, and I never heard about anything on my college campus till like after the fact. So I remember for a while there was like a man who followed girls home from campus, and I totally didn't hear about that till like it showed up in the student paper. And I was like, isn't this something that, okay, fine, but it's been going on for like a week and I never, thanks?
Yeah, we had a campus flasher. I heard about that for weeks.
Wow.
Which at a certain point, I mean, it was terrible, mm-hmm. but it was almost entertaining. Like all of the emails I would get about this, I'm like, man, this person's really prolific.
Strange. But so I get why they would have this, and I'm actually surprised they haven't had this before, mm-hmm. because the wireless emergency alerts were authorized by Congress in 2015. And I know from looking up the story that there was something else that was essentially passed back in 2006 about opting out of text messages for these alerts. So this is clearly something that the government has been talking about for a while, but just has not implemented yet, probably because the ability to alert everyone in the country at one time is something you really have to figure out. Multiple steps involved there. So this involves more than 100 phone carriers, and I didn't even know there were that many. I would have guessed like a dozen. Like, I know the main ones, and this does involve all the main ones, but then I'm like, can anyone just start a phone carrier company? Right. Don't you require like the phone towers or whatever to do that? Like,
they just want to make sure every senior citizen with like a Cricket phone can get it.
Oh, maybe that's what... Wouldn't they already be on it with a Cricket phone? But yeah, so that you definitely, you know, the idea, of course, is if this is something that the citizens of this nation need to know, we have a duty to get it to them. And people don't, you know, necessarily listen to the radio as much anymore, or even watch the TV for some people, especially for people who like only do streaming things on. It's like, okay, none of that is live. So you're not going to get an alert if something's happening. So I get why they'd have the system, but then people were very concerned about the fact that A, you evidently cannot opt out of this. You can actually somehow opt out of the radio and TV alerts, but you cannot opt out of the cell phone ones.
How could you opt out of the radio one? I mean, besides changing
the
station, I guess?
I guess, but I'm not sure. But for the TV one, I think you have to then call some, either your cable company or the national something-something company to opt out of it. But yeah, so people are like, I can't opt out of this. And also, how do you, you know, determine that the president's only going to send this in national emergencies? Because our current president does very much have a social media presence, whether you agree or disagree. And it's just like, okay, so if we get a president who really loves like social media and sending out messages, how do you control, oh, this is only about whatever? Because it was not, it's not specifically like, oh, it's only this event happening. The wording was, it's anything related to or about like a terrorist situation or a national disaster. And it's like, okay, but you could then, that like, you know, that covers the news cycles for weeks and weeks after an event. Like if there's mm-hmm. a hurricane, that's all you'll hear on the news for weeks after that. And it's like, okay, when is it not something then that you need to send out an alert about? Because most situations don't just have one alert.
This also makes me think of in Hawaii when they said that there was a bomb threat and there wasn't.
Yes.
I'm like, what if this happens on the text message like stream? That'd be terrifying.
Well, see, and I didn't even think of that. My first thought about this was Dr. Strangelove. Have you seen that?
I have.
Where he starts a whole missile thing even though there's not actually.
Yeah.
And I was like, so you're putting this in the... Is there like some sort of channels before this message goes out to make sure it's approved? Because he starts a war by himself by saying, oh, hey, you have to follow my orders, and then you have to cut off listening to orders from anybody else. And I'm like, you're sending this out to everybody. You can start a panic. Only one person's in charge of this? Like, are you sure? Is there a committee, a presidential, like, national alert committee for this? Because if it's... it's just like, if it's only one person, I'm a little concerned about that.
Right. I mean, someone has to spell check, you know, it has to go through multiple hands.
And make sure it's correct. Yeah. And don't just send it out. Like, I know we all, and especially since we don't get news through traditional news sources anymore, and especially in certain events, we all want to know what's happening right now. That's why those things trend amazingly on Twitter. That's why, you know, Facebook has put in the, like, I'm safe feature, because we just can't stand to not know things in certain situations like that, because that's just very stressful. Is my loved one safe? What's happening? What's going on? Am I in danger? That's clearly something we need to know about right now, but it's just like, okay, but how do you know when it is? And also, if I can't opt out and there's, like, a shooter in D.C., but I'm in Northern California, are you telling me?
Right. What's the cutoff of emergency?
Like, yeah. More importantly, you're just going to freak me out right now. Like, there's a shooter. Could there be a shooter here? What's going on? Like, I'm like, I get why everyone should need to know. But at the same time, if they're not in a situation where they could possibly be affected and there's nothing they can do about it, you're just going to super worry them.
Right. I mean, related to screen time, it's like you can't ever be unplugged.
Correct.
From globalized news.
And the FCC, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
The FCC announced this because they were afraid that people would see this and then there would be a lot of calls to 911. And I think there probably still will be.
Yeah.
For people who didn't, because I guess you can't send out a test text message of this. There will be a test text message like, this is the test. But so people who won't know ahead of time might be like, what's going on? There's emergency, even though the message itself will say, you know, this is just a test. I feel people still freak out about that, even if it says that.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Also, I didn't know this. Maybe this is me being ignorant, but I didn't know that FEMA was the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Right.
So were they the ones who always send it out on TV?
I would think so, although I imagine for certain ones, like the there's a weather, whatever, you start having state and local offices as well.
Yeah.
I didn't know what FEMA stood for either, though I did know they had something to do with emergencies because you heard a lot about them after Hurricane Katrina. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I've kind of got this. And then I get why the FCC would be involved because it's, you know, sending out media. They did actually ask for citizens to give feedback on this specifically. So if you want to give feedback when this test happens, you can go to the Public Safety Support Center page of the FCC.gov website. And there will be a little thing you can click to then create a comment. But this is supposed to happen on September 20th. And I love that it's at like 2:18 p.m. Eastern Standard Time that they were like, let's pick a time that would not seem like anything else. Like, we can't do it at like 3. We can't do it directly on an hour because something else would possibly be happening and people wouldn't think it was real or something. Like, you set your alarm to go off and send out fake text messages or something.
Right. No one has anything set for 2:18.
Right. And then thankfully, thank you, FEMA FCC, for picking it at a time where I on the West Coast will not be woken up at like 3 in the morning about this. I will hopefully be wonderfully awake at 11:18 and able to process and not accidentally call 911. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes. I've seen enough like post-apocalyptic, you know, Big Brother is watching sort of things that I'm like, the future scares me, but I do certainly understand the need to have a way to inform the citizens as soon as possible. So we're going to take another short break. Stay tuned.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. Changing stories slightly, but still talking about cell phones, is that Apple will stop selling phones that use traditional headphones. So for those of you who do not have an Apple phone or do not have a newer version of an Apple phone, Apple introduced the Lightning port, which evidently charges really fast, but they then made headphones that fit into the Lightning port and took out the regular headphone jack in their phones because I guess it didn't look as pretty. But that has frustrated many people because you cannot get, you know, Lightning jack headphones just anywhere. Whereas you can get the, what is it, 3.5 millimeters or whatever mm-hmm. headphones almost anywhere. You can buy them in like the gas station for $5 or something. So if you ever lose your headphones, you could just go out and get another pair. But losing the Lightning headphones, it's a bit harder because you have to have a very special... I don't think you have to have an Apple one now, but you do have to, you know, you can't just go anywhere and get those because that's not what we're used to. And then they also decided to stop selling the little dongle. So I didn't even know this was called, but I do remember I upgraded. I had an iPhone 4, which had been a gift to me from a cousin. So when I got it, it wasn't even the newest model. And it just was having too many problems because it was old and phones just don't last that long. After a few years, you generally have to get a new one, even if you don't want to, because mine, like the home button, wouldn't work.
Oh, yeah, mine did that. It was terrible.
Like, it would work sometimes, but it often wouldn't work. So I'd have to press it, like, you know, half a dozen times to actually get to the home page. And there's no other way to do that. And it's just like, I can't. Yeah.
And that's where they added the little, like, I forget what it's called, the little box at the top where it's not a button. And you can just download it onto your phone and press it and it'll work like the home button because the home button always right. breaks first.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, no.
I'm so glad now to know it. But anyways, I was like, you know what? I've had this for a while and it's clearly nowhere near the newest. So I got an iPhone 7 Plus when it came out. And that was the first like new phone I'd ever actually had. But I remember getting that little dongle in the box and being, what the heck is this? Because it's this strange little rubbery thing. And I'm like, what is this? And what do I do with it? And I don't understand. And I'm like, oh, headphone jack. Great. Awesome. So Apple is actually going to stop selling the iPhone 10, which is weird because wasn't it just last year that the iPhone 10 came out?
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
I'm like, you really want to make this like a limited edition thing? I get it's your 10th year, whatever, but really? So they're going to stop selling that, but then they're also going to stop selling the iPhone SE and 6S, which were the ones that had the traditional headphone jacks. And I don't quite get, though, then why they're removing the dongle. They put out the statement that they are courageously removing the dongle. Now you don't need to worry about losing the dongle we never gave you. And I'm like, look, I get you're trying to be, you know, witty there. But yes, I did actually worry about losing that dongle, which was why I eventually got Bluetooth headphones. For people who do not want to shell out for Bluetooth headphones, what are they supposed to do?
I definitely feel like getting rid of the dongle is just a way to make you buy a more expensive accessory.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're probably going to lose them because they're the little tiny headphone. Yes. Like, ear pod things, and then you're going to lose that, so then you have to buy them again, and then everyone who's making like replica Apple products right. is just going to be able to make more money and make more products again.
Yes, and this was why I didn't even have an Apple product for a while, because I always felt that there was this sort of, oh, we have to be special. And so, you know, they didn't have Microsoft Office for a while, they had their own version, and then I remember people in college who had Apples. When we had to do PowerPoint presentations, you had to have the little special adapter because the Apple mm-hmm. didn't fit it where every other PC did. And I was yep. just like...
You had to have the other dongle.
Right. I was like, that's too much. I can't. And then my cell phone and iPod, which had been given to me for graduation, died at the same time. And I was like, okay, iPhone, let's go. And I clearly, you know, swallowed whichever color pill it is that takes you down the rabbit hole and have been lost since. But someone did point out the dongle doesn't actually cost that much for Apple to make. It's just this, you know... small little rubber thing. It's only about maybe, what, 2 inches long or so?
Yeah, yeah.
But it has been their top-selling product for the past 2 years at Best Buy, and is actually the top revenue generator. And I'm just like, see, that's just business and mean.
But that's interesting that then they're getting rid of, like, a revenue source.
Oh, no, they're not getting rid of the dongle. They're just not giving it to you. You have to buy it.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just like, that's just cruel. That's... Like, you're going to make it difficult for people to listen to your music, which you're the iPhone. That was one of your major selling points from the beginning.
Right. Yeah.
It's just like, I'm just annoyed with them. So we're going to kind of switch to a different ending of a product. And this is kind of heartbreaking for me in that Volkswagen is discontinuing the Beetle, which I just never would have thought would ever have happened.
I'm so surprised. I feel like this is the car that's synonymous with Volkswagen.
Right? Like, I don't even really know. I know there's the Volkswagen bus, and then I know they now have, like, actual cars that look like all the other cars on the road.
Yeah, they have car cars.
Right? Looks like any other SUV car and not, like, you know, the Scooby-Doo gang car. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, you're Volkswagen. I say Volkswagen and immediately think of the Beetle and could not name you anything besides the bus and the thing, which I actually think is very interesting and is no longer made. It's just like, what do you want me to do?
But also, like, I feel like this is just going to change my experience on the road. Like, I'm not going to see new Beetles anymore. And that's, like, going to change, like, the Punch Buggy or the Slug Bug.
Right. What am I supposed to do on long road trips now, Volkswagen?
I have to find new excuses to punch people in the car.
Right, exactly. I'll be so bored. But also, I think this will put the Beetle in an interesting spot because there is a whole market for cars that aren't made anymore.
Yeah.
But that people, and not like classic cars that no one's going to drive anywhere. Like, people do drive these cars and then sell them to each other on the internet and they'll fix them up, but not, again, to look like some showpiece, but just a nice car. So, like, I remember, and I have no idea how I even came to this. When I was in high school, I really wanted the International Harvester Scout 2. And that shows you how random it is that I even remember that number. It's sort of like a Jeep convertible, but was made by a company that I don't even know that the company exists anymore. And then looked at how difficult it would be, finding parts for that.
Yeah.
If something happened, and was like, no. But I do still really now want, and I hope they do this, because evidently Volkswagen has brought back the Volkswagen bus, but in a new, like, you know, upgraded model. I kind of hope that they do this for the Thing, which A, just has a great name. This is my car, Thing. But B, was also its own version of the Jeep. But then I hope they do that, you know, in like 10, 15 years time for the Beetle.
I could definitely see them doing something like that, like pulling it and then bringing it back.
Right.
Just to, like, revitalize the interest in that market of the car.
I get why, because it has had, like, you know, lower sales, especially since that early mid-2000s one that they made that was sort of completely rounded over.
Yeah.
Guys just sort of refused to drive that. They thought it was too girly. So then in the later models, they made it look a bit more cool and sporty.
It's like a little bit like flatter almost, like stretched out.
A little flatter, almost James Bondish somehow.
Yeah, but they, like, drove a tiny little like dot.
Right. But that sales still have been pretty low, so they've decided to end it. They will end production in 2019. There will be two special last models, the Final Edition SE and the Final Edition SEL, which all just sound like cell phones. But I'm just like, couldn't you, since people really do seem to like that, like, old 70s model bug, why not just bring that back? Like, I know we all have to be like, oh, it's the 21st century, so cars look a certain way. I'm like, but couldn't you just bring back that model? People seem to really love that model. Just bring back that model. What's wrong?
That model's just so iconic.
It is. It's just, and I like it much better than the 2000s one as well. But also because I think with the 2000s one, they switched it, right, where it's not... Is it because one of the things I loved about the Beetle, and I didn't know a lot of cars did this, was the trunk was in the front.
Oh, I didn't know it was like that.
Yeah, so the engine's in the back and the trunk is in the front, which makes sense for that, you know, more
the shape.
Yeah. And I was like, I love that. That's great. But then you get to the 2000s one and like both the front and back seem the same size. And it's just like, what is this?
The Beetle, I feel like, is so iconic. Like, my mom had one in the 60s. That was the first car she bought. And then after selling it many, many years later, she met her boyfriend because he had the same car.
Oh, wow.
So she noticed it in a parking lot. And then he walked up and was like, oh, this is my car. And they started talking about it because they both had the car. And that's how they met.
Oh, wow. Well, and I remember as a child watching the Love Bug films. Yeah. Herbie the Love Bug. I did not see the Lindsay Lohan remake.
Herbie Reloaded.
I didn't see that. But I did really like the older ones. And now you've got coming out soon Bumblebee. And which Bumblebee is a Beetle. I'm like, what are you doing? Right as you've got this Transformers movie coming out, you're canceling the Beetle? I was like, I feel you're just messing up your sales opportunities here. Just saying. Just go back to that model when the movie comes out. That'll work, won't it?
I also feel like the Beetle increased popularity of compact cars.
Yes.
Like, such a change from having, like, giant, like, boat-like cars in the 60s to having this tiny little compact car that was very, like, European and very, like, mobile and could go around tight little corners.
Yeah, definitely for people who are budget conscious as mm-hmm. opposed to the, like, 1950s with the fins, and every year had a different fin, so you had to, you know, have this year's fin yes. and you looked old-fashioned. Like, Beetle was definitely for a certain subset of people that, you know, cared more about the usefulness of the car and their budget than about how it looked. But also, it was still a cute car. Yeah.
I also feel like I can't see a Fit and not think about, like, how that started with the Beetle and being able to, like, oh, now I can park in a tiny little space.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's absolutely great for parallel parking in, yes. in crowded places. So it will be sad to see the Beetle go. I certainly hope we do get some sort of renaissance for the Beetle and not, like, in a, you know, 30, 40 years' time. But since everything now is like, oh, we're going to remake something 3 years later, I certainly hope that we see a new Beetle by about, what, 2025?
Oh, everything always comes back.
Yes. So on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.